Well, I want to thank you for asking me to participate in this panel today, and I want to thank Solomon for doing part of my job for me, because I was curious also as to who's in the audience. And I know some of you who are familiar with forensic nursing, but how many of you have worked with a forensic nurse, and that exclude the forensic nurses in the room? How many of you have worked with a forensic nurse or familiar with what they can do and who they are? That's kind of what I thought. So, forensic nursing is a fairly recent identification of a nursing specialty group. We've only been around for about 25 to 30 years now. The majority of forensic nurses in this country are sexual assault nurse examiners. And the other interesting thing is probably our level of education preparation. The majority of nurses who are practicing as forensic nurses probably have two-year nursing degrees. But that is changing as this field has developed, and we have more and more nurses who are getting graduate education and expanding outside of the sexual assault nurse examiner role. But for those, how many researchers are in the room? For those of you who are researchers, forensic nurses have something that very few people have. They have great patient populations and access to great populations. So if you're looking for access to a population to study, you need to get to know the forensic nurses in your community. The other thing is there are probably a very small percentage of forensic nurses who do that work full-time. The majority of us, and myself included, I work as a family nurse practitioner in a family medicine residency program. So the bulk of my patient time is not spent seeing sexual assault victims. It's spent seeing mainly adult women's health patients. So we have connections into other aspects of healthcare, and we have other healthcare expertise that's not always exploited. So what is the strength of a forensic nurse that might help deal with both of these problems? We already know about wounds, because that is really where the forensic nurse's expertise lies, is wound identification and being able to document wounds and describe them properly. So we're certainly able to take the information that you have and add that to our expertise. And I think there's been a tradition in forensic nursing. Any law enforcement out there? The law enforcement, you know, law enforcement and prosecutors want nurses to be able to say, this is abuse. This is rape. And there's been a lot of pressure put on us to take these studies and interpret them to say, I know abuse when I see it. Just like you said, that when you're shown a picture, and is this abuse or not? And it's like, there's no way you can tell. Even, I mean, there's a lot of pressure on saints to say, when we look at a picture of a woman's genitalia, we know she was raped. Can't do that. The research isn't there, and hopefully as forensic nurses, we are appropriately using the research to not overcall what we're seeing. And so as a forensic nurse, we need to look at the entire picture. And it's the care that's being given to the patient. It's the wound. It's the nutritional status. It's the number of nurses providing care. Are there adequate nurses to provide care to elder patients? Because that is the whole picture. And we have a really broad understanding of both nursing practice and healthcare, and we can bring that to the table to look at these situations and help facilitate the discussion of whether there's abuse or neglect. I don't know that we can actually diagnose it with pinpoint accuracy, but we can certainly look at the factors and help with that decision-making process. The other thing that we are learning as we research forensic nursing is what we do best, and what really applies to what Eileen has talked about, is we give patient-centered care. Because Eileen and I spoke a little bit yesterday, the bottom line to her research is talk to patients and listen to patients. And that is where forensic nurses, I think, have their strongest asset, is that we can sit down and talk to patients and listen to them. And that right there has value in the treatment of abuse and neglect and interpersonal violence and all the things that we do. Being listened to, I think, has a real value to the patient. Because we know, I know from taking care of sexual assault patients, that of the hundreds of patients I have taken care of, very few of them have had a criminal justice resolution. And I'm assuming of the hundreds of elder abuse patients that you see, very few of them have a criminal justice resolution. But what is the benefit that we can provide by being there at the bedside and listening to those patients and taking their concerns seriously and letting them know that they were believed and letting them know that what they're saying is important and possibly, as was talked about in the earlier presentation, coming up with alternative solutions to make sure that they're safe and that they're cared for and that their quality of life is improved, and maybe not through the criminal justice system. So that's one of the things that if you're not working with forensic nurses, we can add that to your practice. So to speak specifically to the studies, again, you have just added to our body of knowledge that I can't say this was a pressure ulcer caused by neglect, that obviously there's no scientific research to back that up. And I think we need to make sure that our nurses are being educated with the science that we can talk about this, we can describe it. I think one of the things that we're going to need to do to educate our nurses is we are used to seeing inflicted injury. And inflicted injury caused by blunt force trauma looks very different than I think a pressure ulcer. Then the mechanism of how that injury is created. And from what I've heard from you say today is I'm not sure we're in complete understanding of that mechanism of injury. Is that correct? So we really don't. I mean, I know if I take my fist and punch you in the lip, and I can pretty much describe that mechanism of injury as blunt force trauma, what that looks like, and that's pretty clear. But I don't think we can describe the mechanism of injury as clearly with the pressure ulcers. That a valid assumption. So we need to talk about that with our nurses, because part of what a forensic nurse can do, especially in a criminal justice procedure, is interpret the data and talk about it and explain it to the jury. No offense to physicians, but we as nurses have all had the experience of rounding with our physicians. And after the physician leaves the room, the patient says to us, "Now what did he say?" And so part of my job as a nurse is to really interpret and educate the patient as to what did the science mean. And that also holds true for juries. So I think that's, again, one of our strengths. Again, as I already said, we want to look at that whole picture of the patient who's a neglect victim and what is their nutritional status. And the other thing is, are the medical conditions that may be contributing to this? I'm actually part of a multidisciplinary team in Utah, and they call me and say, I have pictures of these bruises, come tell me how you think they happened, because the population we're working with is nonverbal, developmentally disabled adults. And I say, give me the medical record, because I need to know what other medical problems are going on with that patient. What medications are they on? What are their chronic medical problems? Do they have laboratory values that are not accurate, that are not normal? Do they have a clotting disorder? Are they on Coumadin? The whole list is long. I can't just look at a picture and say unless it's a slap mark, which they've already figured out, they don't need me for that one. I really need to look at the entire medical record and the entire patient to help them decide whether that bruise is inflicted or whether it's something that may have been accidental. Going back to interviewing the patients, we as forensic nurses are taught to be very careful with leading questions. And so how I would use the research is to make sure, and I think you said this, Eileen, that when you ask those leading questions, like, did you fall down? When you ask something that's very specific, that you then get the patient to describe. So tell me more about that. Because I'm going to have to show that I didn't give them the thought that their injury occurred because their grandson pushed them down. I'm going to have to say, you're going to need to tell me more about that, because we do know, especially in some vulnerable adult populations, that they can be very suggestive and or answer yes. And then if that's the only answer you get, that's not proof of really anything. So we have to be very careful. We do have a group of forensic nurses who have forensic interviewing skills. I would say the average forensic nurse, that's not their expertise, but the nurses who work with child abuse have those skills, and they all have a basic understanding of what's a leading question, what's not, and how to do appropriate interviewing, or how to not do inappropriate interviewing techniques. I train my sexual assault nurse examiners not to ask those leading questions if an adult has a cognitive or developmental impairment. But they may not actually have specific forensic interviewing skills. And so that's something, if we're going to work with this population, we really need to improve our forensic interviewing skills so that we're not creating problems for the prosecutors and the investigators. Going back to the role of the forensic nurse as an interpreter, we all have stereotypes about the elderly, just like we have stereotypes about sexual assault. And so, and especially juries have stereotypes about the elderly and any vulnerable population. And I think one of the things is the cultivation of experts who can speak to these stereotypes and what the stereotypes are versus why we see other behaviors that may not be understandable to juries. And so I think that's a role also for the forensic nurse, that we can hopefully have enough expertise to be able to explain, but in our practice, this is what we see with these patients, and to undo some of the stereotypes.